Welcome to the Knit More Girls podcast, a multi-generational knitting production. This is episode 572 and is sponsored by Alexandra the Art of Yarn, Erin Lane Bags, Knit Companion, Little Skein in the Big Wool, and Lolo Body Care. This week's segments include...
On the Needles.
In Stitches.
Events.
Purloined.
Mother Knows Best.
When knitting attacks. Knits in Space.
And so on. Grab your knitting, pull up a chair, and start your row.
Welcome, welcome. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome to the show. And if you are a returning listener, thank you very much for coming back. How's it going this week, Mom?
Good.
Glad to hear it.
I'm doing well.
Cool.
How are you?
I'm actually excellent.
Good.
I am making the best of this and have managed to mostly enjoy myself at it. Which feels strange. And like, I have moments where I'm sad and I feel isolated, but for the most part, I'm doing really well. So, what have you been working on this week, Mom?
Well, I've been working on my French can-can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I finally figured out a bead placement that makes me happy.
That's good.
And I started the knitted on lace border, and the lace border goes at a 90 degree angle to the shawl, and each pattern repeat eats up 4 stitches of the shawl.
Okay.
And I have about 200 stitches on the needles.
So it'll take a little while.
Yeah. And I was thinking if I can do 2 pattern repeats a day,
it'll be done eventually.
Yeah.
Cool.
What are you working on?
Oh, you know, I finished a sweater. No big deal.
Another one?
Big deal. Yes, my weekender pullover in Lisa Sousa Blueface Lester Worsted in the spruce colorway. That was my video chat talking on the phone knitting.
Mm-hmm.
The knitting is finished. And I just need to weave in ends, block, and photograph. So, that is... hashtag project sweater chest, and you know, I'm delighted and super excited about it. So,
didn't you finish a sweater last week?
Did I finish a sweater last week? Maybe. Mm-hmm. No, a couple weeks ago. I finished the lilac colored one. Not lilac, orchid. I can't even keep track of all the things I finish.
Obnoxious.
I'm sorry, that is the worst.
That's obnoxious.
It is,
yes.
Obnoxious. All right, what else are you working on?
I swatched for the ochre cardigan out of Lisa Sousa in a denim color.
And that was the linen bamboo?
Yeah, and I need to wash that before I do count for this, before I count the stitches and figure out if my gauge is on.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah. What else have you been working on?
I'm more than half done. I passed the halfway point on my quadrat pullover, and that's by Beautia Du. It was from Knitty in 2009, and I'm knitting it in the dye project Ecola Worsted in their Painted Lady colorway, which I think is a flower, because somebody else had a similar colorway with a similar name. So I'm thinking it must be
again?
Painted Lady.
Oh, Painted Ladies are the houses in San Francisco.
Oh, that would make sense, because it's also brightly colored.
Yeah.
All right. It's good to know. So I know I passed the halfway point because I'm at the part, I'm like 3 rows from joining the neck back up, which means I'm past the neck part. And since it's side to side and short sleeved, I'll be done with that pretty soon. And it's been zipping right along and I'm enjoying it immensely. It is a great knit. I'm so excited about that. Probably not going to be done next week though. I may not have a sweater finished every week. Sorry, listeners.
Hmm. Huh. Slacker.
I know. I should be working harder at this. All right. What have you got going?
Socks.
Okay.
So the brown and red and black socks that I was working on are bound off.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't woven in the end yet, but whatever. And I'm working on the green socks. The stripy green socks, also doing vanilla is the new black. in, and it's a Peyton's Croy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the last of the great sail yarn.
Mm-hmm.
I have some more Peyton's
mm-hmm.
here and there.
But not from the big box.
Not from the big sale. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And talking about socks, I'm working on a ridiculously cheerful pair of socks
mm-hmm.
in Plymouth yarn, superwash merino, nylon, and lurex.
Mm-hmm.
And I am almost to the toe decreases of the first sock.
That sounds excellent.
Yeah. So what else are you working on?
I started something new because I started a couple of new things because I needed Zoom knitting and knitting I could do when I was tired or that I didn't have to look at a chart, basically. And I cast on a foolproof cowl, and it's by Louise Bass-Zangham, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a garter stitch cowl, and the construction is interesting because it's bias knit, but not the way I'm used to bias knitting. Like, the beginning is different, so the construction's cool. But it also is, like, a positive and a negative on either side. So one side is predominantly your main color with a little bit of the contrast color, and the other side is predominantly the contrast color. And
what technique are you using for this?
It's bias knitting, but it's done. The construction is interesting. So what I'm knitting this out of, which I picked the pattern because the yarn arrived. So Alexander from Alexander and the Art of Yarn sent me the most beautiful parcel. This was a gift. And it's her Sun River base, which is the equivalent in decadence of puff pastry. You know what I mean? Where it's layers of flaky pastry and butter, and you're just like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing I've ever. Oh, it's so decadent, and it falls apart. So it's superwash merino, silk and cashmere. And it just, I'm kind of hoping she can do it in a heavier weight, because what I wouldn't do to have a sweater made out of this. And if I had to do it in figuring weight, oh shucks. But I wanted to try the base because I think it's a new one. And the colors she sent are a persimmon orange, which match my hair perfectly. It matches my current copperish hair perfectly.
Your color du jour.
And then the contrast that she sent, I mean, it's two skeins that are the same size, but For the purposes of my project and for this discussion, the persimmon mm-hmm. is the main color, and the espresso, I think it's called espresso, is the other colorway. And it's that same orange in speckles with this great purple. And the speckles are against white. So there's a big section of purple and then a white and orange speckle section. And they go together beautifully. And it's so gorgeous that I wanted to use as much of each skein as I could. And I couldn't decide which one would be, if I did another project and one was the main color and the other one was the contrast color, which one would be main and which one would be contrast. So the foolproof cowl seemed like exactly the right thing. I'll send it to you to work a few rows on to see if you want to, so you can talk about the yarn too, because it is decadent. And I really like how she does color. And I really like the feel of her bases. And she's also just a terrific human. So that was an exciting parcel to get in the mail last week. All right. What else have you got, Mom?
I am still swatching for a fade cowl. And the pattern said worsted yarn held double. And I'm swatching fingering yarn.
Mm-hmm.
On size 1 needles.
Shouldn't you be doing it on 3s?
And I'm using my Knitmore cowl as a template.
I feel like you did your Knitmore cowl on bigger needles.
I feel so too.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that later. What else are you working on?
You know, started another sweater.
Oh, okay.
NBD. I cast on a cardigan by Denise Barron, who is Barron Handmade on social media. And I'm using Onyx Fiber Arts Bulky in the Pepper colorway. And it knits up looking like Dalmatian spots in the best way.
Mm-hmm.
In the best way. Now, the pattern calls for a super bulky. So I reworked the numbers after I did my swatch to to be able to use the yarn I wanted to use, which was this one, because I saw it at Stitches West and I thought, oh my goodness, that's it. That's my Cardizan. Because I've been looking for just the right yarn.
Cardizan?
Yeah, it's a side-to-side knit cardigan, and it's open front, though I might add a closure at some point, like a zipper or a thing. But I haven't quite decided yet. And the sleeves, you knit the body side-to-side.
Okay.
And then you pick up and knit the sleeves down. So the sleeves are in stockinette and the rest of it's in garter. And
that sounds good.
Oh, it's so, so sharp looking. And this colorway is perfect. It'll match. So my idea on styling is I have black jeans, but this will also work with bright colored pants. Or if I do a more neutral pant, like blue jeans or whatever, I can do it with a really, really bright colored t-shirt or shell under it. So I think it'll be just right. And at Stitches, you mentioned that this is one you're going to steal out of my closet when it's done.
That sounds like a plan.
Sounds like something you'd do.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I've been admiring the ones online for ages. But I don't really do super bulky stuff anymore. So I was actually thinking of reworking the numbers to do it in a DK. Because side-to-side things are so flattering in... They're so flattering, first of all, but they're so flattering if you do them in a variegated, because then you get pooling. If everything lines up correctly, you get really, really attractive pooling at the bottom or at the top. But instead of having horizontal stripes, you have vertical stripes regardless. So anyway,
okay.
It's a thought. And I did the math on it yesterday and just talked it through, and I'm pretty excited. So I'm zipping away. That's my podcast knitting right this second. And I finished the first ball last night while I was watching a movie. And I'm working on the second ball right now, and I think I've got 7 for the project, so zip zip. Do you have more knitting?
Yes. I swatched and cast on for a clockwork shawl by Stephen West in gray and white yarn out of Oink pigments. And I've always loved Stephen West's work. And I find his old designs are classic, and I like wearing them. His new stuff is a bit avant-garde. It's not a bit avant-garde, it is avant-garde.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
Yes, I am not that adventurous fashion-wise right now. I like the classics. So you like his new stuff, I like his old stuff, we're good.
I like both. I wouldn't necessarily knit all of his new stuff, but I appreciate that it exists in the knitting world. I think we need interesting fashion-forward stuff to exist. And there's plenty of people who do make them. I started a Schlanket ages ago before Stitches. And eventually it's going to make it back to the top of my queue. But right now I'm really, really feeling sweaters. I have another swatch to do, but you're not going to hear about it until I do it, so.
Okay.
But I'm excited. So many sweaters. All right, is that it for our knitting?
That's it.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Carry your creativity with Erin Lane bags. Whether you show your fiber fandom with a Woolly Wonder Sheepleverse or dive into history with the Curiosities Collection, our Project Bags totes and hook and needle organizers are at the ready to keep your hobby happy. You can find links to Erin Lane along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes. Mother dearest.
Lovey.
What has you in Stitches this week?
I've been wearing my sleeping hat because it gets cold at night.
It does.
And my hair is longer, but my head still gets cold. So, sleeping hat. And I've been digging out my knitted socks, and I've been picking out the loudest and most obnoxious and
most
sparkly
cheerful. Yeah.
Socks that I have. And I'm wearing a pair of socks that have an animal print.
An animal print?
Vibe.
Fun. Yes. You should be taking pictures and posting them for today's knit outfit.
Just my feet, it seems anticlimactic.
Yeah, put them somewhere interesting.
My
feet? I have some thoughts.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right. I have been wearing a different Hannett sweater almost every day. Mm-hmm. Some of the days we've been doing gross things like yard work and outside stuff. And if I'm doing dirty work, I tend not to wear my hand knits, especially when we've been painting in the driveway, because I really don't want to get paint on my sweaters. But I've been posting them on Instagram almost every day. I'm trying to stay on top of it. Sometimes my day runs away with me, though. And then I come to the end of the day and I think, oh, dear.
What did I do today?
Well, no, I mean, there's evidence of what I've done because I've been tornadoing through the house cleaning and we've been cooking together and really just making the best of the time that we have together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two small kids and we're keeping things interesting and they're doing mostly self-guided activities, but they still require care and love and attention and all that stuff. And
mm-hmm.
help with connecting on Zoom and doing schoolwork and making sure that everyone has what they need is still, it's a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're cooking more than we normally do because everyone is home every night and we're not eating out very often. So,
as in never?
Well, we had dinner out twice, but we brought it in. We did takeout twice.
Takeout is different than eating out.
I'm sorry. Two nights where I didn't have to cook mm-hmm. is what I meant. All right. So I've been doing those under the hashtag today's knit outfit on, well, under the hashtag, but also on my Instagram. And then I put them in the stories for Knit More Girls. So it's not exactly the same on both feeds because my personal Instagram feed has a little bit of everything. And the Knit More Girls feed is just podcast related things. So Genevieve wore her Hearthstone pullover because it's been chilly. And that seems to be her current favorite, especially since I added the patch where it got some dog damage. And I didn't get a picture of her in it, but next time I will. Alrighty, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I was thinking you are so busy and I feel I'm not doing enough. And I was thinking I would like to go online
mm-hmm.
and take advantage of all these free classes and stuff
mm-hmm.
that are being offered.
It's a good time to do it.
Some of my friends are taking classes at the junior colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher who taught the couture embellishment class has all her stuff together online.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that switching to online classes wasn't too challenging for her. She had her all her ducks in a row before.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and she would hand out rubrics so you knew exactly what she was looking for and there was never a surprise with the grade.
I don't feel like there should be surprises with grades in college. It's all supposed to be laid out on the syllabus. So anyway. Alrighty, anything else?
Nope.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Alexandra The Art of Yarn is an independent yarn company nestled in the heart of Oregon's Willamette Valley, taking pleasure in providing you with very unique, customized, hand-dyed yarns. We love to make handcrafted colorways just for you and your customers, while always searching for new luxury yarns and fibers you will enjoy. You can find links to Alexandra The Art of Yarn, along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode, in the show notes. This event is going to be basically the same thing moving forward. Knitty.com has a comprehensive list of events that have been canceled, including Black Sheep Gathering, which was the most recent one that I saw. But you can continue to support those businesses if you're able that were at the events by going to the event links on Knitty's website. They link to the vendors so you can pick through and see if there's a vendor who you're a big fan of or that you have always wanted to buy from, if you're in a place where you can do that. I want to continue doing this and just reminding people and putting a small reminder in so that should you find yourself in a place where you need yarn or needles or wool or not wool, this is kind of in the back of your mind. All right, so that being said, let's move on to the next segment.
This week for Purloined, we are purloining from the Yarniacs. They have a segment where they talk about what they're stocking.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when I listen to their podcast, I keep pausing and then I go on Ravelry and see
what they've been talking about.
What they're talking about, yeah. So, and I've been inspired by their stalking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was noodling through Pinterest,
mm-hmm.
as one does, and I found a project I'm going to buy yarn for at Stitches next year. And this is the Mrs. Watson by Martina Boehm. And to her, it looks like a leaf
mm-hmm.
pattern. And it's two colors. And I'm seeing zebra.
Hmm.
And black and white is very much...
When it comes to animal prints, zebra is your favorite. Second to ocelot, I think. Or ocelot would come second.
Well.
It's a close. It's a close thing.
I have a whole lot of fabric in my fabric cupboard
mm-hmm.
for summer dresses. And there is a lot of black and white. And I'm thinking a black and white shawl.
Might be lovely.
Would be lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Is that what you're... you're currently obsessed with?
That's what I'm stalking.
Excellent. All right. I have a queue as long as as long as Andrew's arms. And I'm slowly working my way through it. Or maybe not so slowly. Faster than before, but slower than I would like.
I have my favorites on Ravelry. And then it seems when I find stuff
On Pinterest.
I pin it, and then that's where my list comes from for shopping
mm-hmm.
for Stitches. And the list I gave you were all
Pinterest links,
yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Lolo Body Care, formerly Barmaids, creates exceptional moisturizers hand-poured by staff who add a good dose of heartfelt love to each one. Most all their supplies are made in the U.S. and their beeswax sourced from a local farm. Besides quality, the value of their product lies in that they last a very long time and are loved to the very last bit. They built their brand on being eco-friendly and their new packaging rocks. Their customers and customer service are rare and treasured jewels. You can find links to Lolo Body Care along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
For Mother Knows Best, our title today is Reach Out and Touch Someone. Especially in this time of isolation.
Social distancing.
It's a good thing to do. If you studied psychology, it's not on the hierarchy of needs, is it?
It is, but it's like shelter, food, and then connection is towards the top. But it's still an important need because we are mammals. And mammals are social creatures for the most part.
I was traveling overseas and I was at a very non-touchy cultural place.
Mm-hmm.
And my skin started hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So closeness is a physical need, the way I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't go around hugging people all willy-nilly right now.
Just you wait till this is done.
So what is the next best thing, Lovey?
To talk to them on FaceTime or have a phone call with somebody or... connect via an Instagram Live. I have to say it has been a really nice change in my routine to watch. So I watched Cheap Spots. We talked about this last week, I think,
mm-hmm.
where we start with Sasha's lives in the morning
mm-hmm.
and Gemma's lives in the evening. And it's just a beautiful way of bookending our days and connecting with friends and getting to know other people. And it's just really nice. Like the other day I did a live with my friend Kevin on Instagram where we were baking together, but separately. So I was getting apples prepped for a pie
mm-hmm.
and he was working on a loaf of bread. And it was just, we were just chatting back and forth about whatever. And people popped in and told me I didn't know how to use my apple peeler because it apparently slices and cores at the same time, and I could have saved myself so much work. But now I know, so I'm grateful for that, and I still have apples, so.
So I'm hearing it was parallel play.
It was parallel play, to put it in child development terms, but it's making me feel really good, and it's making a difference. The days where I talk to friends on the phone, or I talk on FaceTime, or any of those things, have made a huge difference for me. And so what Andrew's been doing is he's been texting people who he hasn't talked to in ages, just to reach out and connect with them too. And it's been an interesting thing for him, because he's like, you know, I just got so caught up in work and kids and all that stuff that I just stopped reaching out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is giving him the opportunity to do exactly that, to reconnect in that way. So if you have the spoons for it, reach out and touch someone virtually.
One of my classmates called me, and I had been telling myself, I should call her. Mm-hmm. She called first, and it was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just catch up, and it's... And you see their faces, and it's just nice. And we have a standing Zoom date with Abby from Knit Knit Cafe and Dr. Gemma and our friend Hannah. And it's a standing regular thing. And it's the five of us. And it's just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you have the capability to reach to call people, and you have people to call and people to reach out to. And because I have to say, I do a fair amount of reaching out, but it always warms my heart when people reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I had a half-hour phone call with a friend where I just sat in the bedroom because the kids were watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knit while I was chatting, and it was so nice to just talk about nothing, you know?
Yeah.
It was very normal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was watching a zombie show, the very popular one that used to be on... Well, we don't have TV anymore, but I've been watching it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters was Carol, who says, you act like everything is normal until it is. And I thought, well, that's appropriate for these times.
She's always been a very sensible character.
Mostly. Her character's had a really good arc. And I'm watching it while I'm on the elliptical now so that I can...
Exercise.
Keep my body moving, because that helps me feel good. It helps keep me moving. So I just thought that was very, very useful for these times. So call a friend.
Keep moving.
Or a nemesis. And keep moving. All right. That's it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment.
It's when knitting attacks.
All right, Mom.
Yep.
How's your knitting treating you?
Well, I've been knitting a lot because
we can, yeah.
I've got a lot of knitting attacks now. So I was working on the French can-can and trying to figure out how to bead the lace part.
Mm-hmm.
And the pattern had a row of knit stitches going up one side,
mm-hmm.
and I really like that look. And the way I had placed my beads, they ended up in the middle of that single row of knit stitches, and I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled out my swatch and started. Actually, that was on the end. The beginning of the lace border that I had actually attached to the shawl.
Mm-hmm.
So I ripped all of that out, removed the bead in that. I had made hash marks on my pattern,
mm-hmm.
and I erased all of those. So now my pattern is flowing.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
So that was good.
Definitely.
And I had also been swatching for the fade cowl. And first I swatched in fingering weight, and then it said hold it double. So I swatched with yarn held double and started the cowl. And then I ran out of yarn.
Mm.
Because The pattern originally was written for
double-stranded worsted weight.
Worsted weight double. Yeah, so. And so I swatched again with fingering yarn because I had ripped out my swatch to start the cowl. And of course I hadn't taken notes. So, yeah. So that was that. And then I've been working on the Vanilla is the New Black socks, and I started the toe decreases. And the first, and I have footprints that I made of
people. Feet, yes.
Yes. Can I say who this sock is for?
Sure, why not?
So this is for Dr. Gemma, and I got her to make me a footprint. Mm-hmm. So you put your foot on a piece of cardboard and do an outline with a pencil. And she mailed it to me. And then I made one out of quilting template
plasticky stuff. Yeah.
And I stuck it in the sock, and it was not, the foot was too short. Well, better that when I'm still knitting and I can fix it. So I ripped that out and knitted the foot to the top of the pinky toe.
Okay.
And started toe decreases, and my count was off.
Hmm.
And I frogged it. I tinked it.
Mm-hmm.
And the count was off. And I tinked some more, and the count was off. And so I finally ripped all of it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't really rip it back. The way I like to rip back is I go down a few rows as far as I want to go, pick up stitches.
And then rip?
Pick up one stitch each as I go.
Okay. One stitch. Like you just pick it up on the needle.
Pick it up on the needle so I can just rip and not worry about stuff getting away from me.
Like doing an afterthought heel, sort of.
Sort of. So, and then I had all the stitches on the needles, and I thought, let me count. I was one stitch short. Yeah. So, starting the decrease, the toe decreases, I skipped one decrease, and now my count is on. So ha. Yes. And I'm doing toe decreases now. So
it's working.
It is working.
I miscrossed a cable on one of my things, but I dropped it down three rows, just that one section, like the four stitches that I had miscrossed, and I fixed it. It's not even a knitting attack. It's not even a knitting bug bite. I don't know what you would call it, but that's what I've got.
When I'm working on the French can-can,
mm-hmm.
it has a cable, and I looked at what I had knitted yesterday, and there was something off. And it turns out I hadn't miscrossed it, but I hadn't done, it says do the three-stitch cable. I was supposed to knit three stitches before I dropped the needle in the back. So yeah, that had to be fixed.
Okay. I still haven't done where you cut your knitting and fix the cable, like they had in the Arnold Culliford book on how to fix your knitting. And I still want to do that. Maybe I'll just do it on a swatch.
Good idea.
So I can say I've done it.
Yes.
Because I really want to. I love stuff like that where you're like, there's no way this can work. And then it does. And you're like, this is amazing. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Have you ever had to frog because you forgot a step several rows back, or lost your spot because you dropped your magnet board or lost track with your highlighter tape? Instead of wrestling with paper, use the Knit Companion app. It keeps you on track so you can knit more and frog less. Knit Companion works with all your patterns and is available for Apple, Android, and Kindle Fire devices. You could find links to Knit Companion along with everything else we've talked about in this week's episode in the show notes.
Knits in space.
I am in love with my sourdough starter.
Yeah, you've named her.
His name is Placido Domingo, and he has a story. So I have one that I started from scratch using the King Arthur flour cookbook, which I bought years ago. And I had another one in my fridge, which I thought I had killed. And one of our friends gave it to me, and the starter's mother, her name was Thelma, and the starter that my starter came from, Placido's mom, was a starter named Thelma. And because that starter was already established, I managed to revive the starter that I thought I'd killed because it was still fine. They can withstand a remarkable amount of neglect, by the way. I am kind of blown away at how easy it was to revive it with following directions. So I did that, and I texted my friend who gave me the starter, and I was like, thank you so much for the starter. Does your starter have a name so I know how to refer to Placido's mom?
I think you need to say
Placido's mom.
Placido
Domingo.
Yes.
We're big on puns in this house. So my friend said, actually, my starter isn't doing so well, but her name was Thelma. And so I said, well, would you like some of my starter back? And she was like, that would be amazing, because we've been passing things back and forth, and we do doggy play dates so that her dog can get out and really run and while still managing social distance stuff. So I fed a little bit of Placido Domingo to send back to my friend. And this morning, when I gave some to Kevin, because he's been baking too, because his starter was it takes a while to get them started. But if you have an established starter, it seems to be closer to instant gratification for bread baking, which still, it's the same way like bulky knitting is instant gratification. It still takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to do, but it's fewer hours than something else. I don't know what. But anyway, so I've been really enjoying that. This morning, last night, I prepped the dough for cinnamon rolls, and they're going to go in the oven today during nap time because they're on their final rise. You mix the dough and then they rise, and then you mess with it and then they rise some more, and then you mess with it and then it rises some more. And 3 days later, you have cinnamon rolls. I exaggerate, but only slightly. But the thing that I wanted to talk about specifically was not so much the fact that there have been so many sourdough starters started online in Instagram and on Facebook and everything that it's seeped into my consciousness, and I had dreams about a sourdough starter, which is why I did it. But the fact that people are like, does anybody want some starter? Hey, if you want some, let me know and I'll find a way of getting it to you. And it just makes me feel so good. It's that the best part of people coming forward and feeding people, and specifically carbohydrates. And that's if it's safe for you to have them, obviously. But when you look at the psychology of food, and this, we learned about this in college in a biology class of all things. And they talked about during famines and when times are hard, like carbohydrates are survival food, which is why it feels good to bake, why it feels good to feed people, why it feels good to bake bread and do these things and bake cookies, because this is, you know, carbohydrates and sugar and fats that are, you know, keeps you going. Now, the other part of that is I love that people are feeding each other, that people are giving their neighbors bread. We made extra biscuits when we made biscuits and gravy, and I dropped them off at a friend's house and she had them the next morning. And it's just, it feels good to see people being the best that they can be in their communities. And on that note, and related to reaching out and touching someone, I am so delighted by our sponsors, and they're such great people, and I love being able to work with them. And specifically, I was on the phone with Kismet, who is Lolo Body Care. And she was talking about how people have been paying forward Lolo bars for nurses and doctors and hospitals. So when they pay for their stuff, you can tag on and say, I'd like to donate this much towards Lolo bars for a hospital. And they send them, so the nurses, because when you, I'm sure you've noticed, with all the extra hand washing we're doing these days, it is hard on your skin. And we've been using Lolo bars for years. We love them. It's a product we actually use at home with great frequency and we like. But it is a, it's a huge hand saver. When I had kids in diapers, when my kids were little and I was washing my hands almost as often as I am now, it's hard on your skin. And I was so delighted to hear that she's doing this and that people are doing that. And I'm seeing community yarn funds where people are sending yarn to other people, because if you still have a job, you can work from home. You're paying it forward to your community. And as a side note, if you happen to see one of our sponsors at a show when we are allowed to do those things again, or you see them on social media, they help keep the podcast running. They keep our lights on. We keep it free. It keeps us able to do all the things we need to do without having to get support from the community, which is great, because then you can focus those things elsewhere and occasionally be enabled into something delightful. But I was so excited to hear that. So the next time I place a Lolo bar order, I'm totally going to do a pay it forward thing. Also, their soap is amazing. So,
you know, one of our neighbors works at a local hospital.
I didn't. Next door to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
She works at the local hospital, and I think she goes in.
Okay, I'll ask her. I'll send her a text.
Excellent.
Alrighty. So that was something I wanted to mention because it made me feel really good. Because I just happened to have a conversation with her on the phone, and we were talking about just stuff, and that came up, and it filled my heart to overflowing to see how much, like a sourdough starter, when you make one, you feed it just a tiny bit and it grows so big. It's like magic. And that's, my heart felt like a sourdough starter. All right, that's it for me. Do you have anything you want to add?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to the next segment. And now a word from our sponsors. Books plus knitting plus happy memories. That's Little Skein and the Big Wool. We make kits, yarn, and project bags that bring your favorite stories to life. Find your favorite story at littleskein.com. So, Mom, yes. How's your sewing going this week?
It's coming along nicely. So the flared skirt that I had been working on.
Mm-hmm. My flared skirt.
Your flared skirt. I top stitched the waistband.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks lovely and finished. And I hand sewed the zipper to the lining.
Beautiful.
And now that looks very finished sharp. Yeah. So the only thing I need to do is put in the hook and eye for the waist clothing.
Cool.
Yeah. And are you finished with installing the dual separating zipper on your Carly cardigan?
Not yet. It is a long zipper.
Mm.
And I've been swatching and doing other things, mm-hmm. but I was thinking about finishing that maybe this afternoon because I have one more swatch to knit. Because the whole thing about knitting swatches is it's not just knitting a swatch. You have to wash it and wait for it to dry. So yeah. What I was going to do is knit a swatch, and then while it's doing its thing and drying, I was going to work on the zipper because it's something you can pick up and put down because it's basted. So, but it's been being passed around the living room, and I'm a little anxious about the needle falling out.
Yeah, about it being basted.
What happened?
So.
Oh, no.
I found my Carly in mm-hmm. the garage, and not only was the Carly in the garage, the zipper for it was in the garage too.
Oh, marvelous.
Yes, so I brought it out and pinned it. And, you know, I am not competitive at all.
But I'm winning.
And I thought I could do that in a day. I'm not competitive.
Remember? I could do it in a day, yeah.
Exactly. And so...
That's why you've been hiding here, so you can beat me.
So I've been... I thought it's pinned.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is ready. I can just throw it on the sewing machine and...
Zip.
So a seam on each side.
Okay, we need to give some background to people. So I was... After I had basted the Mariah, which is the cashmere cardigan, where I replaced the zipper and made it way better,
mm-hmm.
Mom said, well, if you're going to baste it, why don't you just sew it on the machine? And I said, I am anxious about my sewing machine or any sewing machine chewing up my sweater, even if And I'm also worried about stretching it when you're sewing it on a sewing machine because the pressure from the presser foot sometimes is too much for a knit garment. Anyway, many anxieties about machine stitching. And Mom said, well, the next one you do, let's do it that way. And I said, why don't we sew a zipper onto a swatch and see how that goes? So, continue.
Yeah, I didn't wait for that.
That's why I keep my cutoff when I adjust the length of a zipper. Mm-hmm. I keep the zippers, the bits that I cut off, so I can mess with it for swatches and future techniques.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. Well, I didn't bother to baste.
Mm-hmm. You didn't baste it?
No.
Okay, I'm listening.
I threw it under the sewing machine and pulled out needles as I was getting close.
How'd that work out for you?
The only good thing is I had set my stitch width to maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to pull out the stitches,
it would be easier?
Yeah. And good thing I did that too, because it didn't work out as planned. I should have basted, and I probably should have reduced the presser foot pressure mm-hmm. as well. Yeah, it didn't chew it up because the stitches were big.
Mm-hmm.
But
it wasn't the beautiful work that you are used to doing?
No. And it pulled the stitches on top, and it was not satisfactory.
Why are your pins vertical instead of horizontal? I'm looking at it on your dress form. I thought we do pins this way.
You're right.
90 degree angles, because when you pin them up and down versus side to side, it makes it ripple mm-hmm. instead of... Oh, Mom is smiling because I listen. I told you I listen, Mom. Gosh. Yeah. Gosh, Mom.
So it didn't work out that way. So I pulled out...
Mm-hmm.
the stitching and repinned it, and I'm going to baste it before I do anything else. Mm-hmm. I still would like to sew it on the machine.
It is definitely faster, maybe. It is definitely maybe faster.
Yeah. It takes me about five times as long to
unpick
a seam as to sew it by the machine. And
so what I'm hearing is I might still finish before you.
Possibly.
So my painstaking, incredibly slow, but meticulous handwork is working out better than the machine? The meticulous handwork that you taught me how to do, for the record. My zipper installs are per your instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I have
two more attempts?
Knitwear things that I need to even start by ordering zippers.
Okay.
So.
Well, we'll do it. We'll see if Zipper Stop's still open. And yeah. Then I'll walk you through the ordering thing, because then you can pick exactly what you want.
Excellent plan.
All right.
Yeah, this was challenging on a number of levels.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what you end up with. This will make for great podcast content for discussing. I'm not kidding. I'm totally serious. And if it works out that I was right. I'm going to have Sam sing the I Told You So song.
Maybe you should have Sam and Genevieve do it together.
All right. That being said, it sounds like we've come to the end of our row. This week, we'd like to thank Alexandra the Art of Yarn, Erin Lane Bags, Knit Companion, Little Skin and the Big Wool, Lolo Body Care, our supporters, but most importantly, you, our listeners. Absolutely everything, and I mean everything we talked about in this week's episode, can be found in the show notes, which are located at knitmoregirlspodcast.com. You can send any comments, questions, or feedback to me, JASMIN, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
Or me, Gigi, GIGI, at knitmoregirlspodcast.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pandora Podcasts, Spotify, and basically everywhere as Knitmore Girls. If you haven't already joined our Ravelry group, you totally should. It's full of fun people and great conversation. Remember, this is Jasmine.
And Gigi.
Telling you to knit more.
And wash your hands.